It's amazing. It's just amazing that he took and shared us, had us to go to that particular page and sing that particular song. It won't be very long. Praise the Lord. We are grateful that God has watched over us, blessed us to go and dine sumptuously, and in some cases perhaps too sumptuously, but anyway, to dine sumptuously. And now to come together to worship and to hear a word and I worship. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man. Is that in your Bible? Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs, not all the crumbs, but from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. That's not said about the poor man, only that he died. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. Jesus doesn't bother to tell us how the rich man knew where Lazarus was. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now, are you there? But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between where we are and where you are, there is a great gulf. Not only is there a great gulf, but it's fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and vice versa. Verse 27. Then he said, that being the case, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He's concerned about personal evangelism now. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He responds. He said, "No, Abraham, no, nay," verse 30. "Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses, and if they hear not the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rose from the dead." Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. For a conversion, the Word of God must be taught. In every case that we read about in conversion, the Word of God is the medium through which the Holy Spirit begets or quickens or converts the sinner. The rich man is in torment. Is the only one recorded in Scripture who ever asked for help beyond God's inspired word. How much better? How much better is poverty with the friendship of God? You know where I'm going, don't you? How much better is poverty with friendship with God than riches with all that the world can offer you? God, ahead of time, gives us sufficient warnings to prepare for our after while. Because this is temporary. Living on planet Earth is temporary. But after this is eternal. God warns us by the Spirit. God warns us by providence. We see that people die every day. That lets us know that death, no matter what our age, death is imminent. If all this that we know is all that we understand, the fact that we know that we're not going to live on planet Earth forever, it ought to move us. It ought to bring us to a place in our life where we are concerned about the hereafter. And how can I be sure? How can I make my calling and election sure regarding eternity? Because where we land up in eternity, it is forever, forever, and forever. How can I be sure? If everything that we've read, including God's holy word, doesn't move us, nothing will. Not even a dead man coming to life to tell us where he's been. It won't help if we're not ready to believe what we read in God's holy book called the Bible. God is not giving us anything other than what he has already given to us. If we will not hear the Son of God, the apostles of God, if we will not accept the Holy Scriptures, there is nothing else which will or can change our hearts. If the Word of God doesn't help us, we will never, ever escape the place of torment. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What Jesus had already done when he spoke to the apostles in Mark chapter 16, and you know what it says. Commence with verse 16. "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus is talking to his apostles after his death, burial, and resurrection. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he goes on to say, he that what? He that believeth and is baptized. Not he that believes, but he that believeth. Believes and continues to believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be, not may be, good possibility will be, he that believeth and is baptized shall be. He that obeys the gospel and lives accordingly shall be saved. When it comes to leaving this world, after hearing what Jesus had to say in the illustration just above this, it's amazing how people can shrug it off and keep marching on. Eternity is too long, you've heard before. And hell is too hot. Thank you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, commencing with verse 15, and that from a child, Paul writing to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures which are doing what? Able to make thee wise unto salvation. If you want salvation, if you want to enjoy eternity, the Holy Scriptures gives us positive, definite information as to how to live on planet Earth and then leave this world in joyful happiness. And that from a child thou hast fully known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, not most of it, but all Scripture is what? Is given by the outbreathing or by the inspiration of God, and it's beneficial or profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Praise God. People who go to hell because they want to go to hell by their actions. To know the Scripture and then disregard what the Scripture says, that's utter foolishness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be what? Complete or perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. Even coming back to night church. So the question comes for each of us to do some soul introspection. Do you own your possessions? Listen to the question now. Do you own your possessions? There's some more to the questions. Or, you know where I'm going, don't you? Or, do your possessions... do you own your possessions or do your possessions own you? Things can take a toll on us. The heart affections and the mind perceptions can go either way. It is not wrong to have possessions. It is not wrong to possess things. But it is wrong for things. You can finish it, can't you? It's wrong for things to possess us. We can divide life into two broad categories, the spiritual and the material. Matter of fact, Jesus never made that distinction. He often taught that our attitude toward the material is a mark of true spirituality. Just the opposite. Jesus can look at our checkbook for the last 30 days and tell where we are spiritually. Not that he can't see it anyway, whether we show it to him or not. Let me run that by you again. Jesus can look at our pocketbook, at our checkbook rather, for the last 30 days and know if he didn't already know, and know and tell whether or not we are spiritually inclined. Not only but what we return to him, not only what we give in the offering, but also by our stewardship with the rest of the money that we don't give in the offering. The things that we place great importance upon tells the story. The question of the hour, the question of the hour is, do or does our possessions own us, or do I own my possessions? Do the possessions own me, or do I own the possessions? Needs or greeds? G-R-E-E-D-S. And Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not. It's in your Bible. A man's life consisteth not in the what? In the abundance of things which he possesses. Some things can be good and some things can be not so good, depending upon how they are used and what they're used for. Music, gift of God, can be used for positive, but Satan can take that same tool and use it for the evil. Sex, gift of God, but out of bounds, a major tool of sin. Internet, good, but can be used for good or for evil. Now, some of you may not have had enough birthdays. And I've talked with people who have more birthdays than me, so don't draw any conclusions. When the television went off at night, once the 11 o'clock news was over, television, blank screen at 11:30. But now it never stops. 24 hours every day. Some things can be good or bad, depending upon how they are used. As I just shared it with you, regarding music, sex, and internet. The common thinking is that if you have a lot, it's because God is blessing you. If you got a lot, God's blessing you. If you don't have a lot, he's not blessing you. You're not right with God. The same thing is taught in today's prosperity gospel. Name it, claim it, blame it, and grab it. That's called slot machine religion. Things can easily have an impact on our heart, this heart. Easily have an impact also on our affections. But you see, things don't last forever. They are temporary. And if you are living for things temporary, they can be gone in a heartbeat. When the stock market crashed, beginning the Great Depression, people jumped out of windows to their death, because they had lost money. It was all they were living for, money. And when the money was gone, they couldn't handle it. Their life worked around money. Jesus does not totally reject the desire to accumulate. He only directs that desire every time you drop your offering in the plate, you can whisper to it silently. No, let me run that by you again. Every time you drop your offering in the plate, you can whisper to it silently. Watch this. See you in heaven. Still on the line? Praise God. Every hour you invest in serving God will reap an eternity in reward. Because you see, God is infinite. God owns everything. And therefore, we cannot outgive God. And that applies not only here on earth, but also in eternity. The writer just closes the book in Revelation, and the book closes talking about what God has waiting for us. Do you want to go? Every time you drop your offering in the plate, you can whisper to it, "See you in heaven." See you in heaven. Hello. Or you fill in the rest. The investment we make now on planet Earth still is drawing interest on the distant future. You don't hear me? The investment that we make now, time, talent, and treasure, our time, our talent, our treasure, still drawing interest in the distant future. What we're doing now. Jesus says, our treasure affects our heart. This young man's problem in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, we have for your reference, verses 16 through 22. This young man's problem was not that he had great possessions, but that possessions had him. There was nothing sinful about having great possessions. Now, I won't call any names about our people who have great possessions. You say, okay. The young man's problem was not that he had, as I said heretofore, great possessions. It's wonderful to have great possessions, providing that that's the case. You have the possessions, as opposed to the reverse. The possessions, oh, church, have you? It all depends on our perception of stuff and salvation. Stuff and eternity. Which do you want? The choice is yours. It all depends also on our vision. The question is, are you spiritually minded or are you physically or materially minded? That's your call. You give the answer. Clear vision means you are spiritually minded. Seeing things as they are in their perspective. With eternal values, you use them in such a way that you know God will be well pleased that He has blessed you that way. But if materially minded people have a blurred vision, heaven can never be your home if you die with that mindset. We will serve someone or something. It's only a matter of choice. Whether we serve someone or something. And that someone is the creator of everything. He has placed His Son, Jesus Christ, in that situation or in that circumstance where we can decide to give her all and serving him, or whether or not we want to serve that which is temporary, and that stuff and things is only for this world. And God is going to judge us based upon how we used stuff, things, time, talent, and treasure. When times get tough, the Lord is usually the first one that is tossed aside. It's a conscious decision of the will or of the mindset. And it has a major impact upon the direction that our lives will take. Where are you tonight? What controls your actions? What controls your time, your talent, your treasure? The Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 20. It talks about a great getting up day, when we will all stand before the Creator, our Creator and the Creator of the universe, and give an accounting of how we lived our lives on planet Earth. The goal, the endeavor of every human being, wisdom says, should be to live in such a way to make my calling and election sure, so that I might hear the Lord say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to bring you on up higher. You can be ruler over many." Ain't that good news? Pardon my colloquialism, but let me say that again. Ain't that good news? Praise God. Where are you tonight? Time, talent, and treasure. You control it, or does it control you? The decision is yours. If you're walking with the Lord, thank God for that, for being a role model, an encourager. But if you're not walking with the Lord, you're yet alive. You are yet alive, which means that you can make a choice. Make your calling and election sure. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," he says, "and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest to your soul." There's a precious soul here tonight. You have not given your life to Jesus, who died to provide you with a way to do that. Came all the way from glory. Lived for 33 years on planet Earth, just so that you would have the privilege, we would have the privilege, of living on Earth a life that glorifies heaven, and have the assurance that when we leave this life, heaven will be our eternal home of abode. That can be yours tonight. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the Lord and Savior of humanity. Repent of your sins, godly sorrowful for the things that you've done contrary to the will of God. Come forward and do as that young man this morning. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord in Christ and be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. You know what? Number one, God will add you to his family. Number two, he will adopt you as son or daughter. And number three, he will walk with you the rest of your days on planet Earth and on into eternity if you live faithful according to his instructions. Where can you find a better offer? Who can give you and guarantee you a better offer than what God is offering through his son Jesus Christ? Make that decision. Do it now as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move.